The names.
Cha.
And. Grinati.
Grinati.
Take.
Loka.
People in general.
Britye.
When a servant.
Krita
Agassi.
Has committed something wrong.
Sa.
That.
Asadhuvada.
Blame.
Tat.
Of that person.
Kirtim.
The reputation.
Hanti.
Destroys.
Vacham.
The skin.
Eva.
Yes.
Amaya.
Leprosy.
Translation Brahma Prabhupada. A wrong act committed by a servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. And responsibly, a wrong act committed,
by a servant
leads people in general, to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy
on any part of the body
pollutes all of the skin.
Purport by Śrīla
Prabhupāda. A Vaishnava, therefore, should be fully qualified. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of the demigods. There are 26 qualifications mentioned in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita. A devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. A devotee should be blameless, because any offense by the devotee is a scar on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The devotee's duty is to be always conscious in his dealings with others, especially with another devotee of the Lord. Om Aginati Mirandi Seganjana Sarakaya Chatsuru Militam Jena Tasman Shukravena Mahasri Chidamana Vistam Statitam Jena Bhutale Swami Pashramayam Dharati Svartartikam. Prabhupada is underscoring the message of this verse, that if the servant of some master creates an unpardonable act or does something unacceptable spiritually, socially, legally, however, that is a reflection upon the master, and it deteriorates the reputation of the master. Sometimes this is visible, this is seen in ordinary dealings with, for example, parents and children. Sometimes children don't understand why their parents are asking them to behave a certain way or to behave in front of other people. And have you ever been in a house where there's a, for lack of a better word, brat? You know, it can be so annoying that it makes you think, what are these people doing? They're not taking care of their son, their daughter, they're not taking care of their child. And it immediately is a reflection. Of course, some people take it to an extreme and they brutalize their children or abuse them because they don't feel they're reflecting their values enough. But the point is that whatever situation a person is in, if there's a master-servant relationship or a servitor and serve relationship, there's a reflection on the master. Any discrepancy on the part of the servant is a reflection on the master. In one of Prabhupada's purports in the first canto, he writes that the relationship between the master, between the servitor and the servant, the server and the served, That relationship is the most confidential form of intimacy. This is a way of explaining that devotional service is the most satisfying service, the most satisfying activity any human being can perform, because everyone's looking for confidential forms of intimacy in relationships, and therefore people become, quote, codependent, which is not looked upon very highly by psychologists, because they become, in that way, overly dependent on someone who's imperfect. Friendship, husband and wife, or various other forms of codependency are not considered to be very stable relationships. But Prabhupada says it very clearly. The relationship between the servitor and the serve is the most confidential form of intimacy. So there's always a relationship. Just as it is said in the Upadeshamrita, Dati Parigranati, Uyamakati Prichiti, there are signs by which relationships grow and develop. There are activities by which relationships grow and develop, giving of the mind, giving of prasadam, and giving of intimate thoughts, and receiving such things. These are the ways, six ways in which spiritual exchanges take place. And these are a reflection of what we have in the material world. We have businessmen buying drinks for one another, buying lunches for one another, giving gifts around this time of the year, and talking, revealing their inner thoughts. These are a reflection of the spiritual world. So Prabhupada is pointing out that here, any discrepancy on the part of a servitor or a servant is a reflection on the master, and this is the case with the gatekeepers. Later on, it's pointed out how this was all a very wonderful arrangement of the Supreme Lord, and how everything takes place with some background. A devotee who is advanced sees there's a background. It's mentioned just very briefly in one verse that Lakshmi was even not able to see the Lord because of these gatekeepers, Janakijaya, prevented her because he was sleeping. It's a natural sort of thing. But even at that time, the Lord, it is said, foretold that Janakijaya would have to take birth in the material world to fight him. This reminded me of a time when Prabhupada was here at John Lennon's house when he was also sleeping, and he had a servant who forbade one man who came all the way out to London on the train to see Prabhupada. He was an important member of our society. And Prabhupada was very, very chagrined when this happened. He said, oh, he does not know how to preach. He was talking about his servant. He does not know how to preach, because the devotees asked him, well, shouldn't he have? Should he let him come? Should he be awakening? And this man went all the way back to London after he came 2 or 3 hours by train out to see him somewhere out in Berkshire, and then went Ascot, and then went back Ascot. So Prabhupada, he doesn't know how to preach. And it was a reflection on Prabhupada, because this person had very eagerly come to see Prabhupada and made a journey. He was an elderly person. And so this was a reflection. Prabhupada didn't like it because it was a reflection on him himself. You know, do you not see people? Do you tell people to tell them you're sleeping every time you're resting? So on. So one has to be very careful, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, because at all times we're serving Vaishnavas, we're serving Vishnu, we're serving the deities, we're serving Prabhupada, we're serving his movement, and any misrepresentation reflects. There's a similar verse Prabhupada often quotes about the white spot, about the black spot on the white tablecloth, that an ordinary person can commit many infractions, break the law, and so forth, and it goes unnoticed. But as soon as someone who's wearing saffron cloth or shaved head or tilak or devotional clothes does the same thing, it becomes magnified 1,000 times. So that's a very powerful statement, that it's magnified 1,000 times due to some little thing wrong, and it's magnified 1,000 times. I think I told a story once when I was living here. I made a quick turn. I was about to make a turn. Another car was coming. I didn't do the right thing, and he just sort of zoomed in front of me. I forgot exactly what the condition was, but he was a Sikh. He was wearing a turban. And he was just zipping by me so fast he hardly had a chance to say anything, but he did manage to get one sentence out, and that was, "You're a disgrace to your religion." That's all I heard. That's all. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, coming in and going out. It started out and trailed off. And I never forgot that, because I was doing something that was a little wrong. I mean, it was not proper etiquette for driving. Just a little thing like that. And, you know, that's the first thing, because he saw my shaved head. First thing he had to say to me. So in this way, I was giving him a wrong or bad impression of Krishna consciousness, of Prabhupada, his movement, his followers, everything about it. So one has to be very careful in ordinary dealings. It also, as indicated here, it's a pollution. The word pollution is used as something that causes further damage. So in other words, if one does one thing wrong or commits some sort of an infraction, then one thinks, well, yeah, I can do another one, and I can do another one. If I made an illegal left turn, then I can make an illegal right turn, and it just goes on and on. So there's a progression, that a simple thing leads to a more complex thing. And these things are very hurtful to the master. So in Krishna consciousness, we try to be good representatives of Krishna. We try to give a good impression. And it's interesting that the Prabhupada mentions that the qualities of a Vaishnava are automatically achieved if one becomes a devotee. And he quotes, or he mentions the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has often quoted that verse. But at the same time, that's Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavatiya Kinshana. Sarvaya Guna Chakra Samasate Sura Arav Abhav Fasya Kuto Mahadu Namano Rate Nasati Dhavas Kupati. That if one is in devotional service, he begins to acquire all the qualities of demigods, religious piousness, truthfulness, austerity. But if he is not a devotee of the Lord, then he must remain engaged in the external service of the Lord. And manoratena sati davato, he will be on the platform of the mind. So this verse Prabhupada quoted in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yas Yasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Kinshana. And in explaining the process of devotional service, I think it was Chodo Chaitanya Tisnath Goswami. He mentions this, and then he also talks about what the qualities of a devotee should be specifically. Prabhupada says here, devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase with the advancement of his Krishna consciousness. These are, he says, there are 26 qualifications mentioned in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So this is interesting because this verse is there in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, and just right after it is the mention of the 26 qualities. So on the one hand, we see that it's automatic that one develops good qualities, but on the other hand, there are specific qualities. So Prabhupada also emphasized the importance of this by having it typed out once on a sheet of paper and stuck to the wall of the temple, 26 second heaven. These are the 26 qualifications of the devotee. They were there, you know. Never quarrels with anyone. Truthful, honest, compassionate, always attached to Krishna, never has material hankering, silent, poetic, you know, all were there. And that was on the wall for everybody to see. So the idea was that one will develop good qualities. But at the same time, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, one should look to see if those specific qualities are developing. As stated in the Bhagavatam, anyone who has become a Vaishnava has developed all the good qualities of demigods. There are 26 qualifications mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The devotee should always see that his Vaishnava qualities increase in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. So, if we don't know what they are, we can't tell whether they're increasing or not. Well, I haven't made any mistakes, I haven't burned anybody out, I haven't driven anyone out of the temple, I haven't sent any people away from Krishna consciousness, I haven't cause of deities to fall over. I haven't forgotten lines in the verses. But there are actually 26 qualifications by which it is meant, by Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentioned these too, by which we should measure ourselves. So I thought it would be appropriate to read them. First, in the 22nd chapter, Prabhupada quotes this verse. Can you find it? Sarva Mahaguna Gana Vaishnava Sharire, Krishna Bhakti Krishna Guna Sakali Samshare. A Vaishnava is one who has developed all good qualities of the transcendentalist. All the good qualities of Krishna gradually develop in a devotee. Then the verse that I quoted, yes, yes, you up here, is verse 76. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna has all the good qualities of the demigods. They are consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of God has no good qualification because he is engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. Prabhupada translates this in different ways in the Bhagavatam. Then the purport, this was spoken by Bhadrashada and his followers who are offering prayers to Nisringadeva from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 18th chapter, 12th verse. Then he goes on to say, Se sava guna haya Vaishnava lakshan sava kaha na yai yaya kari dik darshan. All these transcendental qualities are the characteristics of pure Vaishnavas, and they cannot be fully explained, but I shall try to point out some of them, some of the important qualities. And then the verse for the 26 qualifications. Kripalu akrita droha satya sarasam nidosha vadanya mridu shuchi akinchanam sarvo barakara shanta krishnayaka sharana akama anina stira vijita sarguna itabut apramata manada amani kambira karuna maitra kala daksha mani. Devotees are always merciful, humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild, and clean. They are without material possessions, and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna, and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisition and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. They eat only as much as required, and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, brave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Then, he quotes another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the third canto, which we all know, Titiksha Karunika, Suryasa Vadehina, Ajata Chatravasanta, Sarava Sarabhushana. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very merciful, and they are well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunctions, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. They are these are the decorations of devotees. And then Prabhupada's comment. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-21. When the sages headed by Shonaka inquired about Kapiladeva, the incarnation of Godhead, Sutta Goswami, who was the topmost devotee of the Lord, quoted talks about self-realization between Maitreya, a friend of Vyasadeva, and Madhura. It was then that the topic of Lord Kapila came up, and his discussions with his mother, wherein he stated that attachment to material things is the cause of conditional life. When a person becomes attached to transcendental things, he is on the path of liberation. So these are some of the statements that Prabhupada, it's interesting, the progression that there's the automatic development, and that's very specific things that Prabhupada emphasized, were the conditions, for the different. It's kind of like one verse is a sutra, yes, yes, bhakti, bhakti, kinshana, all the good qualities, and then more of an expansion, like a purpose, well, what are those good qualities? And then am I developing them? And sometimes one unknowingly commits an infraction, does something that misrepresents the master, and master has to tell, oh, he shouldn't have done that. That was a mistake. Once I had to make a bank deposit for Prabhupada, and I didn't get a receipt. And I was really chastised like anything. Really chastised. I came back with a bank book with a stamp on it, but that wasn't enough. And Prabhupada spent almost an hour just chastising me for not getting that receipt. He explained how the entire British bureaucracy had become corrupted in the course of his explanation. And the fact that Lloyd's Bank didn't give me a receipt was an indication of that. But it was a chastisement to me more than it was to Lloyd's Bank, because I had failed to ask the people for a receipt. And that was my wrongdoing. So sometimes things are done that we don't realize, and we're misrepresenting the master. I want to read one other. Now, there's also this, the other half of this verse says, it indicates that someone who's not a devotee has no good qualities. Well, that doesn't mean that one doesn't maintain one's own good qualities of being silent, poetic, friendly, truthful, not quarreling, and so forth. It means the person is devoid of devotional qualities because there's no devotion there. But it doesn't mean that that person might not become a devotee, even a great devotee, even a leading devotee, or a great muni, or a rishi, or a guru, or a transcendentalist, someone very, very important. So that's also not to be taken that everyone out there is bad and we should avoid them. One devotee was asking Prabhupada, I heard in the tape when Prabhupada was in Washington, D.C. in 1976, in July, Prabhupada was there, and one devotee was asking him. Sometimes we go out and preach, but people just don't listen. They just don't want to hear it. And Prabhupada said, so then what are you preaching for? That was his answer. What's the use of preaching to people who are listening? You're supposed to convince people who don't want to hear to hear. You're supposed to convince people who aren't devotees to become devotees. That was his answer. That was very nice, because then Prabhupada began to quote the verse from the 11th canto, Ishvara Tadarineshu Balesheshu Vishatuksha, that you have to see that everyone is potentially a devotee, everyone is innocent, everyone is like a child, Balesheshu Vishatuksha. So he explained what the qualities were of the Majjhima Adhikari, which that verse explains, that we make friends with the Supreme Lord, we worship the Supreme Lord, we make close friends with devotees, we see the mass of people as ignorant and in need of help, and we're compassionate, we see them as valisheshu, as children, and we avoid the envious. So then he went on to explain what envious was, and he talked about that being someone who resolutely refuses to hear Krishna consciousness, who resolutely decries or defames devotees or devotional service. Those people you should be avoided. Don't waste your time. But the mass of people, 99% of the people, everyone who goes out and distributes books of prasad, just about everybody, I suppose, knows that everyone, we see, there's potential in everyone. Prabhupada comments in this chapter, later on in her purport, that it is the devotee's duty to see Krishna in everyone, to see the good in everyone. And as he's mentioning here, it's especially important not to do things that are offensive to devotees that offend them, because they're very, very special people. But even in those who are disdainful, one should see good qualities. I read an account in Back to Godhead about one of the devotees here whose first contact was with a Sankirtan party. The very first thing he did was he kicked one of the devotees. And he became a devotee after that. He shaved up and he's still a devotee and in good standing. So there's many injunctions about how one comes to the platform of siddha, or devotional service, then we shouldn't examine and scrutinize the background of the past life or of such a person. Therefore, the disappearance days of the great souls, we read about them in the Samadhi's book, the Tirobhava, is generally more glorious and generally more celebrated than the Anubhava, the appearance day, because we have a chance to see what this person, maybe was born in a family of Shudras, maybe in a family of non-devotees. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. I always considered himself a Mohammedan, wouldn't go in the temple of Jagannath. Then one has to see what the contribution was, what was done to advance Krishna consciousness, what was done to please the Lord. And that is what a devotee looks for, devotional qualities, not what was wrong with the devotee. Or not minutely examine the past. Bolsonaro and Rupa said, we've ruined our lives. Nanda Goswami is famous for saying, I've ruined my life serving meat eaters. being party to all of this sort of bad materialism and management that was based on exploiting people and hurting people, that ruined my life. His opening statements to Lord Chaitanya were, Kayami, or who am I? A person who has ruined my life. Great scholar. He was expert in Persian, Arabic, and Sanskrit. Could read and write fluently in all three languages. Very brilliant scholar. Wrote many thousands and thousands of verses. And yet, he said that I'm nothing. And so this is a reason for not minutely looking at a person's past, a Vaishnava. Prabhupada once wrote a letter in which he said that once one has reached the platform of sadhana, whether he's a sadhana siddha, kripa siddha, or a sadhana kripa, or what's the other one? Nitya siddha, eternally liberated. It doesn't matter. Because a letter had been written that asked Prabhupada, well, where do you come in? Are you a nitya siddha? Are you eternally carousing with the gopis and so on and so forth? So Prabhupada explained that sometimes people come to this platform of siddha through sadhana, sometimes they come through kripa. But he explained in one sense, everyone is siddha. Because of Mamai Vamso Jivaloke, because everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, and because once the waters of the rivers all flow into the ocean, there's no more question, there's no more examination about the origin of those waters in the ocean. They're just the ocean. So in this way he was explaining what a perfect person is. We don't really care how a person got to that point of being perfect. But once they're perfect, they're perfect. So in this way he was explaining his own position that, you know, maybe I did it this way, maybe I did it that way, but it doesn't matter. And you should regard all such persons in the same way. Sometimes one uses devotional service. I'll end here because I'm 5 minutes over. This is the last point. Sometimes, because of involvement in devotional service, we tend to think that we're above the law, above customs, above conventions. And while that's true, according to several things Prabhupada said and done, one has to play the role, so to speak. Just like the unfaithful housewife. We know that example Prabhupada always gave. She was doing her work more dutifully than the unfaithful wife is serving her husband very, very faithfully, so he doesn't suspect that she's having an affair. So this is what Prabhupada says in the 29th text of the 7th chapter of Majjhima Lila. The verse is that actually the Lord is controlled by the good qualities of all his devotees. On the pretense of attributing faults, he tastes all these qualities. So it's an interesting purport, but I'll just close with the last sentences. There are many instances of devotional service rendered by previous acharyas who did not care about social behavior when intensely absorbed in love for Krishna. Unfortunately, as long as we are in this material world, we must observe social customs to avoid criticism by the general populace. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. So, I'll read the verse again. Yanamani chagrinati loko vritye kritagasi so sadhuvarastakitim hanti tachami vamaya. A wrong act committed by the servant leads people in general to blame his master, just as a spot of white leprosy on any part of the body pollutes all of the skin. Any questions or comments?
Well, as you mentioned at the end, how devotees, although aiming for transcendence, have to be diligent in their dealings with the world. Analogy of the conversion law. And you also gave that pastime about Prabhupada chastising you not for bringing a receipt. So how do we individually and even culturally overcome our tendency just to be careless in the name of being carefree or whatever about the world and about being diligent in filing accounts, in these kind of matters that, you know, we often like to transcend?
This analogy of the unfaithful housewife is useful because her mind is always on her lover. But she's doing her housework very diligently, so she won't be suspected. So we can take courage and faith and strength from people like Prabhupada, his spiritual master, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur for three persons. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a magistrate. He had a huge family. He did court cases every single day up to the time he took Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sometimes, although he, during Chaturmas, put his hands behind his back and licked off the floor a mixture of rice and dal in a cement room. And Prabhupada was extremely meticulous as far as keeping accounts. If there was a discrepancy of 30 pikes in a $30,000 transfer from America to India, Prabhupada personally wrote the bank manager and signed it and said, please correct this error you have made. So these are our immediate acharyas. And they were very, very careful. Very, very careful. Especially in the West, they were interested in preaching in the West, all of them. They were the first, really, to take Krishna consciousness outside of India. So this is a very, very materialistic society. When I was sitting before Prabhupada once at an escort, and he said to me, so that coat is a little soiled. I think you should get it washed. He said, in England, you dress, then undress. Do you understand? You dress, then undress. Do you understand? So, yes, Prabhupada, of course. So, I got a new suit. We were doing a lot of things in suits and dancing those days. And we would come to Prabhupada like that. And once I even didn't bow before Prabhupada, because the path was all muddy. And I apologized. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. So we have to learn by Mahajana Yanagata Sobantam. How do the Mahajans do it? How do they propagate Krishna consciousness in this material world? How did we end up staying in Bhaktivedanta manner? We fought by the rules. We could have just sat down, could have staged a protest, and just did it anyway. But we could have lost, and we could have been, taken out by the police. But we fought by the rules of the game. And we won. Because Prabhupada and all the acharyas say that a devotee, and the Bhagavad Gita says, is never vanquished. And he mentions it in this verse too, that there may be many hardships. We've seen cases of devotees killed. We've seen cases of devotees beaten, Haridasa Thakur. We've seen cases of people estranged from their homelands, like the Pandavas, like Lord Ramchandra is found. And Prabhupada says, and Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his own father. Prabhupada says in the purport, it's in this chapter, the devotee is always successful. There may be reverses, there may be losses of battles, but in the war effort, the devotee will win. That is guaranteed. And in warfare, in accounting, in personal behavior, in driving our cars or whatever, we play by the rules, but we win. Just like, if you're playing a chess game. If you really want to, and you've got the intelligence, and you've got Krishna behind you.
Well, it's kind of a value thing. I'm going to do a bit of a devil's advocate. Surely, chanting Hare Krishna and preaching is much more important than management, answering the phone, maintaining the car, or giving a receipt back for the petty cash that they sent to you again. You surely have got to
these things
are just material and mundane.
I think Prabhupada would probably answer that by saying that they're not mundane. I mean, I can't speak for him, but we try to imagine that Prabhupada is here, and we try to act according to what he would do if he were here. And he did all those things, and he was showing one devotee by hand that was sitting there watching how to make daily entry in a ledger book, in a cash book. So this is what you must do every day. It's a very little tiny thing dealing with pennies. But management, for example, is actually spiritual. Prabhupada, you could say from a material point of view, was an expert corporate manager. He was managing a world movement while traveling and writing huge volumes books and statements and seeing people and having darshans and going to and speaking to devotees and speaking to guests and speaking to important people, writing 15 to 20 letters a day. So from one point of view, one could say, oh, he was just very good. He was a good corporate manager. He was very smart. And some people say like that. They don't see there's a spiritual dimension. But we know that Prabhupada's management, his use of accounts, his and taking good care of automobiles, is keeping the floor absolutely clean. That was all spiritual. We know that was spiritual. So everything that's connected with Krishna, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, isn't that one of Parvati's famous statements? That those things that are connected with Krishna, they're more important than Krishna. Aradhanam, Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradham Param. Those things are more important. So if they're, you know, like a, I mean, it refers to Tulsi, it refers to devotees, it refers to Bhikkhu, but it also refers to your car. If your car is a mess, then that's not spiritual. I mean, we tend to think that because we're sadhus, or we're in the category of sadhu, and you can go around India, especially India, with wrinkled clothes, 4 or 5 days growth of stubble on your face, and you can have a stick over your shoulder with a piece of cloth at the end with your only possessions on it. That's very spiritual. And people do that, and some make a living off of it. I mean, it can be spiritual. It's a way of renunciation. But as Prabhupada mentions here, unfortunately, while we live in the material world, we have to abide by social conventions. And these aren't material things. This is not a material thing, because we're speaking into it. In Prabhupada's room here, he said, when he was asked about why you use so much technology, he said, because it's being benefited. Ordinarily, this technology is used to destroy things. It's a very destructive element in society. But when I speak, he said, into this microphone, it's benefiting the maker of the tape recording. That was Prabhupada's view of how to use Yukta Vairagya. So Yukta Vairagya is actually the process of transforming matter into spirit. It's putting that iron in the fire till it becomes red hot. It's no longer iron. So it's no longer material management, it's no longer material cars, it's no longer material ironing your clothes, no longer material cleaning up the dell, no longer material making beautiful rounds. Those things are material to the materialist, but to devotee it's all spiritual. It's not at all mundane, because it's connected with Krishna. And therefore it's equally, if not more important than Krishna himself, according to Parvati. So that's one perspective. Anything else? Yes?
We've just been hearing how the servant said that the performs badly and place reflection on mm-hmm. his master. Is it that the master is at fault if it's something the servant does?
Sometimes. That's why the reflection is very, that's why the action of a servant is very important. But of course here Prabhupada is talking about Krishna himself and his servants. And the master in this case is faultless. And therefore it's a greater offense if the servant is acting in a faulty way. But I mean, our masters in the material world are all full of faults. And therefore everything is Kalir Yojani Devajan. It's just an ocean of faults. An ocean is described in the Bhagavatam. So the point is, if we discover Bhagavate, Bhagavani Bhagavan, if we're one of the fortunate people who out of millions of different people contact someone who is faultless, then we have a duty to be faultless ourselves. Therefore Prabhupada emphasized these qualities. Yes?
The conditions all can become?
Oh, Nityasiddha. Well, Nityasiddha refers to one who is liberated, eternally liberated. But a conditioned soul can become Sadhana-siddha or Kripa-siddha.
We try to become siddhas, we try to become perfect.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Rantara Srila Bhagavatam ki jai.
Shri Bhakti Vedanta Maharadam Ki Jai.
That's a good video.